We drove south for another 5 minutes with no sound but the song of the tires and the wind and the great moon above making its mighty music in my veins and the careful watcher laughing quietly in the rush of the night's hard pulse. "Turn here," I said at last. The priest's eyes flew to mine in the mirror. The panic was trying to claw out of his eyes, down his face, into his mouth to speak, but "turn," I said, and he turned. Slumped like he had been expecting this all along, waiting for it forever, and he turned. The small dirt road was barely visible. You almost had to know it was there, but I knew. I had been there before. The road ran for 2.5 miles, twisting 3 times, through the sawgrass, through the trees, alongside a small canal, deep into the swamp and into a clearing. 50 years ago, somebody had built a house. Most of it was still there. It was large for what it was. 3 rooms, half a roof still left. The place completely abandoned now for many years. Except the old vegetable garden out in the side yard. There were signs that somebody had been digging there fairly recently. "Stop the car," I said, as the headlights picked up the crumbling house. Father Donovan lurched to obey. Fear had sealed him into his body now, his limbs and thoughts all rigid. "Turn off the motor," I told him, and he did. It was suddenly very quiet. Some small something chittered in a tree. The wind rattled the grass. And then more quiet. Silence so deep it almost drowned out the roar of the night music that pounded away in my secret self. "Get out," I said. Father Donovan did not move. His eyes were on the vegetable garden. 7 small mounds of earth were visible there. The heaped soil looked very dark in the moonlight. It must have looked even darker to Father Donovan. And still, he did not move. I yanked hard on the noose, harder than he thought he could live through, harder than he knew could happen to him. His back arched against the seat and the veins stood out on his forehead, and he thought he was about to die. But he was not. Not yet. Not for quite some time, in fact. I kicked the car door open and pulled him out after me, just to let him feel my strength. He flopped to the sandy roadbed and twisted like an injured snake. The dark passenger laughed and loved it, and I played the part. I put one boot on Father Donovan's chest and held the noose tight. "You have to listen and do as I say," I told him. "You have to." I bent and gently loosened the noose. "You should know that. It's important," I said. And he heard me. His eyes, pounding with blood and pain and leaking tears onto his face, his eyes met mine in a rush of understanding, and all the things that had to happen were there for him to see now. And he saw. And he knew how important it was for him to be just right. He began to know. "Get up now," I said. Slowly, very slowly, with his eyes always on mine, Father Donovan got up.